went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, so the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. I'm located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. I'm in Suite 404 of Building 400. When you come into the parking lot, I will be located on the second building on your left. And when you come in the front door, I will be the first office on your right. Now, if you don't necessarily come to my office right away, but you still want to get a hold of me and have a conversation, I would ask you to call me directly at area code 845-561-2225. Again, that's 845-561-2225. That is my cell phone. 99 times out of 100, I will be the person answering the phone. So if you have a question, if you want to get some understanding and you want to get it from the proverbial horse's mouth, then you want to call me on that phone because I'll be the horse answering the phone. And so the other thing that would be important is if you want to email me, you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K @spineboy.com. Either way, it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have. My mission, my passion, and my purpose that God has given me is to educate people and to help people with their health issues. I take my mission seriously, and I want to honor God's gifts that have been given to me by sharing them with you in an effort to help facilitate your highest health outcome possible. So I appreciate you tuning in today. We're here every week, and the man behind the scenes that helps me put this show together, who comes up with the topics and asks me questions in an effort to create clarity for you, the listener, his name is Mark Saban. And what I don't know how many years I've been doing this show. He started up in New York. We went to California. We did both coasts for a period of time, and then we moved down to Georgia, and we've been doing Georgia for the last 2 years, a little more than 2 years. And so we've been doing this a long time, every week for, I'm going to say at least 14 years. The man who helps me do that, his name is Mark Sabin. He's in studio with me, and we want to say thank you for everything you do, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc Rick. You know, it's interesting that we've been able to do this show as long as we have, because the information, a lot of the information seems to be, you know, similar from week to week, but it takes a long time to be able to digest and assimilate the information that we talk about, because when you're changing the ways that you are in the world and changing your habits, this is something that can take quite a long time. And it's not necessarily a transition that's automatic. It's something that you actually have to make an effort to do. And part of your mission and part of your way of practicing healthcare is very different than what people have been used to. So it does involve quite a bit of change for people.
Yeah, and absolutely. And what's important to understand is, and not that anybody needs to know this and not that I'm complaining, but realistically, I pay for my show. I pay to be on the air for an hour a week. And to be honest with you, the cost is not cost prohibitive, obviously, but it also does cost money in order to do it. I don't have major sponsors. I don't really have any sponsors right now. And what would be nice is if I could be on the radio all day and just have health conversations and talk about different topics so that we can cover things completely and be like a Rush Limbaugh or a Sean Hannity or any of those people that are also on the station that I'm on down in Georgia, they have sponsors. Mm-hmm. And so their job is to be on the radio and have these conversations. Well, that's not my job. My job is a healthcare provider. And part of the way that helps me reach more people and affect more people in a larger arena than what I can do one-on-one in my office is to have this show. And this show is to teach people what they need to do so that they don't need to come see me so much, or they don't need to be on medications for the rest of their life. And if there's somebody out there that really appreciates what my show is, and perhaps you're visiting a relative in one of my listenership areas and you'd love to have a show like this in your area, I'm going to do something that I've never done before. I'm going to say, if you have the ability to support somebody to get their message out there in a corporate way, you know, whether you're a major hospital or something like that, or I certainly don't want to get branded and paired up with pharmaceutical companies, because that kind of goes counterintuitive to what it is that I do. I want to teach people how to get off of medication or never need medication. So I don't think I'm looking for a pharmaceutical sponsor for my show. But I mean, if there's somebody out there that is interested in touching people's lives in a way that helps them with their health the same way that I am, and that's a good match for you, and you wanted to consider being a sponsor of my show, I'd be happy to accept your phone call and put you in touch with my marketing people. And we could develop a sponsorship to where you could have commercials on my show every week in an effort to support your brand of whatever it is that helps people be healthy. And I don't even know why I'm saying that today, but it's just something that spontaneously is coming up right now. And what I want the listener to appreciate is that Mark does a lot of hard work behind the scenes, and we work together in an effort to put this show out, and we want to help people to be healthy, which is why we do this show every week for as long as we've done it.
Right, and part of that being healthy is to be able to get healthy using things that don't involve drugs, don't involve medications. It is about being healthy as opposed to trying to get over being sick or having some kind of disease.
Absolutely.
It's a different approach. Now, you know, and if we're speaking about pharmaceuticals and we're talking about really conditions that are really troubling for people, one of the major issues that affects so many people today is pain management. And it's been leading so many people into taking medications that then lead to addiction. And since you don't prescribe medications in your practice, is pain an issue that you see quite often in your office?
Well, every day, Mark, people come to me with pain to one degree or another. And let's face it, pain is a reason to go to a doctor. And most are becoming more savvy and don't want the painkillers. So they call me instead and they want to find a more natural way. And so they resonate with what it is that I'm going to do. And sometimes it's about managing their expectations, because a lot of times you take a medication and how long does that take to have an effect on the body?
It's not long, typically. No. Yeah, it's right away.
Sometimes it's immediate if you're taking some of these strong narcotics. Sometimes, you know, take an aspirin and it might take an hour or so in order for the pain to slowly dissipate and go away. people want something that's going to help them. And when they come to see me and we help them with their pain management, because I am a pain management office, we're not going to do it without the medications. I probably get 20 phone calls a week of people who are looking for pain management drugs. And since their doctor won't prescribe them anymore because they're becoming more highly regulated and limited in terms of how long people can take them, you know, they're calling me because I come up under pain management when you do a keyword search in the different markets that I work in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they call me and they're like, you know, my doctor retired. My doctor, you know, they got some sort of story where they can't get their prescription anymore from their doctor, so they need a new doctor to buy into how much pain they're in and write a prescription so they can continue taking their pharmaceuticals. And I don't offer them that at all. In fact, I send them to a website that talks about one of the techniques that I do, which is called Neurologic Relief Centers Technique. We send people to the nrc.md, so it's nrc.md website, and I ask them to watch as many videos as they want, and if they're interested in what these testimonials are saying to end their pain, please give me a call, and we will use that very specific technique to end your pain as well.
But the problem is a lot of those people that are probably calling you is their pain is that they're addicted. Their pain isn't the physical pain they're in even as much as it's the fact that they're now addicted to the painkillers.
Right. They're addicted to the painkillers, and not having that creates a withdrawal effect, which is painful for them. And so, yes, there is the whole vicious cycle of, okay, I came in here with pain. Now I don't have that pain, but now I have the pain of the withdrawal of taking the medication that helped to stop my pain, and I don't know how to get off that merry-go-round. And you don't substitute one medication for another medication in an effort to fix a problem. That's just masking the problem a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So my job is to understand the mechanism of cause of your pain, how to interact with your nervous system to get those upregulatory and downregulatory pain pathways to function properly so that pain can actually stop.
Now, I would think that beyond just the pain of the withdrawal from the drug, there are other aspects of the drug that would then keep somebody addicted to it, so that it's more that, because you hear so many people that have been addicted to drugs that then relapse.
Right.
Right. So they're not in the same pain that they were. They're not in the pain of withdrawal anymore, but yet somehow that one more time they're going to try it.
Well, let's take a look at that, Mark. Let's go down to the most basic of basics related to addiction. Okay. And then we'll tie it into pain because we're here to talk about pain and pain management. What do you think the most common addiction is in our society?
Well, I know from talking to you, it's sugar.
Right. Okay. And what happens is...
The gateway drug.
Right. And that is, it is just that. It is a gateway. And when you have a sugar addiction, you're going to find ways to satisfy that sugar addiction. And that's one of the things that leads to mass obesity. And that's one of the things that leads to all the health issues that we have, is that sugar blocks your ability to absorb and assimilate your food in a normal fashion. So when you have a sugar addiction, even if you swear off of sugar, like I haven't had dessert in over 2 years. I just refuse to have dessert. Why? Because it doesn't serve any purpose. It's completely refined and processed crap that's going to push my body in a direction that I don't choose to go in anymore. Okay, but at the end of the day, sugar is the gateway. Sugar is something that we become addicted to. Okay, and in your research, you found out that monkeys would be more willing to have the sugar water than they would cocaine.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so it's that much stronger.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I'm somebody that hasn't had dessert in over 2 years. I go out to eat with my wife, and the waiter comes by or the waitress comes by, and my wife always wants to at least look at the dessert menu, and if she sees something that speaks to her, then she'll order dessert. And they always bring a second fork or a second spoon, and I'm just like, well, you're just creating more work for you because I'm not going to eat any of it, because I have that strong will, versus the waiter and the waitress and even my wife don't have that level of strong will. And that's not a criticism. It just is what it is. At the end of the day, the same addictive nature that we have with sugar, if we don't have the ability to put that in our body, it literally will drive us crazy. And anybody that's had low blood sugar, we know that they're very short and they're very intense and they're very curt with their ability to speak, etc. Why? Because their brain doesn't have what it needs as far as sugar goes. Well, the same thing happens with any other addiction. Now, these opioids and these other pain management drugs, et cetera, that they're dealing with, they become very addicting. Why? Because it forces your body to feel the same type of response that you get when you put sugar in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And having that thing going on in your brain, and in order to feel that way, okay, you don't want to go through the withdrawal because it's very uncomfortable. I had a patient that we've talked about many, many times in the past who I helped lose over 160 pounds. When I met her, she was on 14 different medications for one condition. We got rid of her condition using my pain management technique in literally 30 seconds.
Hmm.
And then she decided of her own volition to stop all of her medications because she didn't have pain anymore without consulting anybody. And I found out after the fact that she quit 14 medications cold turkey and then went through a month of withdrawal. And I didn't see her for a month. And when she came back, I said to her, I said, "Leslie, you know, thought you were coming back. What happened?" She says, "Well, I did it, Dr. Rick." I'm like, "You did what?" She says, "I got off all my medications." I said, "How'd you do that?" She says, "I just stopped taking them." I was like, "You did what?" "Yeah, I stopped taking them." And I said, "That's not what I would have asked you to do." She says, "Well, I know that now, but at the time I just figured I didn't have pain anymore, so I didn't need to take these medications. And I didn't realize the addictive nature and the drug withdrawal process that my body was going to go through." And so she basically had to check her into a rehab center for a couple of weeks in order to get over the after effect of the withdrawal of taking the medications. And, you know, your body becomes addicted to the response that it creates as a result of the medication that causes your body to feel a particular way. And when it's the opposite of how you would normally feel, and how you normally feel is pain, then you'll do anything that you need to do in order to escape that pain. And that's where we run into the problem, because if you're using toxic narcotics, some pretty strong drugs, the prescription drugs, and when you can't get enough of the prescription drugs, as we've talked about in the past and we'll probably mention today, where do people go?
The street.
And what do they get on the street?
Well, you don't know.
Yeah, and they sometimes get a thing called heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And I helped a person who had developed a heroin addiction get off of his heroin in 1.5 hour conversation, because I showed him the nature of his addiction. And when he could see the nature of how his brain was working, he, in the moment, reprogrammed his system to say, "I'm not going to do that stupidness anymore. I'm going to do the right thing." And his addiction was done. And, you know, but we have to understand that people who are tied to the effects of their lifestyle, whether it be alcohol, whether it be pharmaceuticals, whether it be recreational, whether it be sex, whether it be shopping, whether it be surfing the internet, whether it be checking your phone, any of these things that we can become addicted to, and we've done a show on addiction, okay, is in an effort to escape something. And if you boil it all down, what you're trying to escape is you're trying to escape the pain of your existence. And when you're dealing with a pain from a medical condition or a health concern of some sort, then you have to figure out how to manage the pain. And my job is to help you manage it until I can eliminate it completely.
Yeah, I mean, pain is very disruptive, and it makes it hard to think. It's hard to participate in a lot of living. So it's very important to get out of pain in the first place.
Absolutely. It's vital if pain affects you, and everyone responds to pain differently, as everyone has different pain thresholds and everyone has different types of pain. And there's a difference between superficial pain versus neurogenic pain. And superficial pain would be if you bang your finger or catch your finger in a car door, or you hit it with a hammer or something like that. You're going to get superficial pain, which is pain right in the area.
Mm-hmm.
When you get neurogenic pain, which is inside your nervous system, that's completely different, because there's no way to soothe it from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that probably need medications until I can help to reset how their internal workings of their nervous system functions.
So that means that pain is more than just a physiological pain, that neurogenic pain.
Yeah, it's pain coming from inside the nervous system. That means, well, it is physiological, because the physiology of the nervous system is out of balance, and the pain regulatory mechanisms within that nervous system are corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they don't shut off the way they should shut off.
Uh-huh.
But that's an internal pathway. That's not putting ice on the surface.
Right.
That's coming from within the nervous system, maybe within the spinal cord itself, maybe within the nerves that go out from the spinal cord, or maybe the pathways from the spinal cord up into the different steps within the brain that help to resonate within the pain centers of the brain.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read that inflammation is one of the great health issues facing us, and that basically I think almost all the health conditions that we have relate to inflammation. So is pain always related to inflammation?
Not necessarily. Again, it goes back to the person's pain threshold. So you can have inflammation with no pain, depending on where the body it is. And inflammation in the arteries does not usually create pain until real damage has occurred, like a rupture or a blockage as in a heart attack. So what's interesting is anybody that's ever flown on a plane, when they get off the plane, they may look down at their feet and notice that their ankles are a little bit swollen compared to when they were before they got on the plane versus mm-hmm. after they get off the plane. Mm-hmm. They may notice a little bit of swelling. Okay, that has to do with fluid retention related to the pressurization of the cabin, and it causes some stress on the kidneys and stops the body from handling fluids in an appropriate fashion, and you'll get collection of fluid in your lower extremities.
Isn't that also related to the return of your blood system?
Well, it can be if it becomes chronic, and that relates to kidney disease and right-sided heart failure and those sorts of things. So there would be a mm-hmm. bunch of different things to consider at that point.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you go to the doctor and you're in pain, and the doctor will ask you to rate your pain between 1 and 10, 10 being the most pain and 1 being the least, what does that tell them?
Well, it tells them about your perception of your pain and how serious it may be perceived by you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a measurement device, okay? If you come in and you say that today my pain is a 10 out of 10, and then we do something, and on the out, leaving the office, or maybe the next time you're in the office, we ask you again where your pain threshold is, and they've put you on medication. I can't prescribe medication. So your pain management doctor puts you on medication that suppresses your pain, and then you're still coming in and you're saying that your perception of that pain is still a 10 out of 10. Knowing that and the effectiveness of the medication, or whether you're a malingerer or something like that, which is more psychological than it is physiological, it's important for the doctor to know what they're dealing with.
Right, and people, as you said, have different tolerance for pain. So what might be a 3 to me might be a 7 to somebody else, or
right.
vice versa.
Exactly.
So how would you objectively know how much pain a person is in?
Well, again, objectively you wouldn't, and in combination with physical findings, we can correlate the two, and it just becomes about doing a thorough workup and understanding and being consistent with going back and asking the person about their pain. Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? I'm sorry, where is that pain again, kind of thing? And it's mm-hmm. interesting when somebody says they have severe pain and you ask them to point where the epicenter is, and as you're doing the physical exam, you keep coming back to that question and their epicenter keeps moving. Well, that's one of the indications that this person might be making it up and might be a malingerer. So, you know, at the end of the day, you want to take people at face value, but sometimes you know that people are good storytellers, and mm-hmm. and whatever they do to get attention, this is what they end up doing sometimes.
So what about the difference between chronic pain and severe pain?
Severe is extreme pain to its maximum. Okay, so severe pain is real, and it's, like I said, it's extreme pain. Chronic pain is the time in which one has had pain. It may not necessarily be severe in nature. Mm-hmm. Okay, you could have chronic dull ache. You know, my left butt cheek aches all the time. I can live with it, but it's an annoyance versus mm-hmm. somebody feels like they got stabbed or shot in the back. I'm reminded of Forrest Gump where, ow, something bit me. And it's like the guy says, so you got shot. He's like, yeah, you know, they said it was $1 million wound, but the government must have kept all that money because I ain't seen it, you know, that kind of thing. So you can have severe pain that happens in the moment. And you can also have severe pain that lasts a long time, and that ends up being chronic pain. But you can also have a difference between mm-hmm. severe pain versus having chronic
pain. Yeah, I mean, if you hit your thumb with a hammer, that will be severe pain.
Severe, but that'll be acute.
It'll be acute, and it won't last that long.
But if it lasts 6 months, then at the six-month point, now it's chronic, and now you have a neurological problem that probably needs to be addressed, because I'm sure the initial incident isn't still the one that's being active.
Correct. Well, this is a good conversation. Once again, Doc Rick, we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the Alternative Healthcare Network.com. When we get back, I'd like to talk to you some more about pain and pain management.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Doc Rick from When Your Health Matters radio show. We want pain sufferers. If you suffer with chronic pain, there is a new groundbreaking technique that can end your pain. Call 845-561-2225 and sign up for your free test. The test may change your life and end your chronic pain. Please call 845-561-2225 and schedule your free test to end your pain. That's 845-561-2225 and reclaim your joy of life. Sponsored in part by the Foundation for Wellness Professionals, a nonprofit organization.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We are at Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, you should call my cell phone at 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. Again, that's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. We want you to not have health issues. And one of those main health issues out there we're talking about today, which is pain and pain management. And Mark, I'm sure you have more questions.
Well, I think one of the questions that I think is very important to understand is what happens to you if you don't manage chronic pain?
You could potentially go insane, Mark. I mean, pain is so debilitating. I mean, we know of Robin Williams, who committed suicide, and the type of pain that he was dealing with wasn't something that medication was going to help. And he'd went to counseling, and he took different medications and all of that. And at the end of the day, he made his free will choice to end his life because he was just tired of dealing with the pain that he had. And that wasn't something that therapy was going to help him with or that medication was going to help him with. So, you know, you could go insane. You could take your life. There's lots of severe outcomes that happen as a result of people who have severe chronic pain.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've also heard it said that pain is information. So what do you think of that thought?
Well, pain is information. It's information letting you know that what's going on within your system is out of balance, and the way that the information is communicated is in a way that gets your attention, and pain certainly gets people's attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, it used to be that, you know, when, let's say back in the 1800s or something, that the main thing that people used for anesthesia was things like alcohol, but really, there wasn't that much more you could do for pain back in the day.
No, not unless they were aware of nature's natural pain remedies, of which some are extremely dangerous to use without knowing how much to administer, etc. But, yeah.
So when did opioids first come around?
Well, the earliest reference to opium, the natural source of opiates, dates back to 3400 BC when the poppies were cultivated in lower Mesopotamia. The Sumerians called the opium poppy Hulgil, the joy plant. Now, around 460 to 357 BC, Hippocrates, the father of medicine, acknowledged opium's usefulness as a narcotic, and he prescribed drinking the juice of the white poppy mix with the seed of the nettle in an effort to help people. But that's probably around when it first started.
Really? That's that far back?
Yeah.
So have opiates always been a problem?
Yes, when not understanding the effects on the person who's taking them, they'll always end up being a problem because it's kind of like when you consume alcohol. There's a delayed response between the amount that you've consumed and the blood alcohol content and then its ability to affect your brain. So you have one beer, and that level of alcohol, if you don't drink alcohol at all, may be sufficient enough to alter your brain chemistry, but there's going to be a lag. And by the time the lag starts to kick in, maybe you've had two or three beers at that point because the first one didn't impact you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends upon the physiological response of how long it takes the stimulant this could be a suppressant to have the desired effect.
Now, it's interesting that you said that in the Sumerians considered it a joyful drug, but when I think of these images I've seen of the opium dens and things like that and people smoking, they're just like laying around and pretty lethargic. That doesn't seem like what I would define as joyful.
Well, it could be joyful if what's going on within their brain causes them to have hallucinations in a way that, you know, makes them feel empowered or makes them feel like they can fly or make them feel, you know, just something other than what they were feeling. It's interesting. There was a movie, I think it was back in the 80s, maybe it was in the early 90s. It was a Western movie, and Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen and Kiefer Sutherland were in it, and at one point they partook in some of the poppy stuff, and they were all having these different hallucinations, and it affected each one of them differently, and one was shooting his gun, and one was having a conversation with a plant and all of this stuff, and they were depicting it, and I wouldn't necessarily know anything about that because I've never done anything more severe than sugar in my life. I've never done any kind of recreational drug at all. I haven't ever needed to take pharmaceutical drugs, and so I'm not somebody that can speak upon that, but I've talked to a lot of people. I had an old relationship that she had a drug and alcohol addiction, and I helped her get well from that. And I took her to the natural way of treating alcohol and drug addiction. And when I went out to her graduation, I got to see the facility and this, that, and the other thing. And the interesting thing about it was they were substituting their drug of choice with sugar. And I gave them a whole bunch of advice on the nutrition of what they were feeding, but they were, you know, they didn't have a lot of resources money-wise to where they could buy healthy food. So majority of the food that they were feeding them were pastas and breads and cereals and all of that. And I'm like, you're substituting one form of sugar with another form of sugar as far as their addiction goes. So you're replacing one addiction with another addiction. And they wanted to hire me to become a staff member, but I wasn't willing to live in Oklahoma, nor was I willing to live on minimum wage labor remuneration.
So most of these painkillers and narcotics, they just suppress the pain. And it seems like suppressing other things in a person's life. So, I mean, except for trying to get that next fix.
Right, and this is why you should be why all of them should be outlawed, as too many people's lives have been ruined as a result of poorly treating a person's pain. And it's easy to prescribe a masking agent without concern for the consequences instead of addressing the cause within the nervous system, and that's what our current healthcare system has done. And the nice part is because opioids have ruined so many lives as a result of it, and what the government is doing to try to get into it. On one end, one hand is doing the right thing, but on the other hand, they're looking for a way to replace the financial resources that they were receiving as a result of having these opioid pain addiction medicines out there in the environment. So what's actually happening now is they're doing it with cannabis. And I'm going to tell the country, let me be the first to tell you, that they're replacing their opioid income with cannabis income.
Now, do we know what makes these drugs so addictive?
It's just the chemical, the nature of the chemical makeup in terms of where and what part of the brain it affects, what part of the nervous system it affects, and the consequences of those effects versus the inhibitory mechanisms that we have that keep us from doing stupid things. Well, it interferes with that, so we end up doing more stupid things, like continuing to take more and more and more of it.
So how small is the gap between a therapeutic use and abuse?
That depends on the drug. Sugar is the largest selling drug, and many do not see the addictive nature of it or the amount that is necessary to set someone off on their addiction, you know. But what I can tell you is true is people will go on these diets to where they restrict their sugar intake, okay? And after a little while, they'll say to themselves, well, I haven't had anything for so long. What's a little bit going to do? I'm just going to have a taste, or I'm just going to have one slice or one piece or one serving of whatever. And before you know it, you've cracked that door again.
I've heard that about cigarettes.
And it's
going
to be a real, real pain for you to shut that door again. And you're going to have to go through a whole new thing. And that's, you know, one of the things in the past, I've had a sugar addiction. I was a sugarholic, okay? I was a real bad sugarholic in my 20s, okay? And now I'm at the point in my 50s where I've given up dessert for over 2 years now. And sitting with my family during the Christmas holiday, don't think while I was looking at the whole spread of different desserts that were available, don't think I didn't think about having some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, who are you kidding? You don't want to open that door. So you're not going to open the door, and you're going to say no, and you're going to be okay with it because you've been okay with it for the last 2 years. But the adage out there is once you're an addict, you're always an addict. It's mm-hmm. just a question of how long can you fight the addiction. And I can tell you firsthand that sugar is the hardest thing to fight.
It's compelling.
It's so prevalent in our society, and there's so many forms of it that you don't even know that you have an addiction when you have to eat bread or when you have to drink a certain thing. You know, I have patients that they don't think that they have an addiction, but the only thing they drink is like Diet Pepsi. They can't drink anything else, but they don't see their Diet Pepsi as being an addiction.
But it is.
It is, and when they're
ready. And that's not sugar, that's chemical sugar.
That's chemical sugar, and when they're ready to deal with it, I'll be happy to help them, but I'm not going to make them wrong for what they're doing because they haven't hit bottom yet, and it's not until somebody hits bottom before they're willing to accept help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, what about like over-the-counter medications like aspirin and acetaminophen and
Well, that's interesting. You can have an addiction to that and not even know you have an addiction to it. And somebody close to me had an issue with ibuprofen, and they were taking ibuprofen every day. And their ibuprofen that they were taking every day, the amount that they were taking every day in an effort to manage a symptom that they weren't making anybody aware of that they had, was becoming a problem. And, you know, so they have to go through what they have to go through to do what they have to do. And at the end of the day, my thought is, well, why don't we fix what's going on in your stomach that's causing you to want to take the ibuprofen more often than you should? And they asked their medical doctor, is this too much? And the medical doctor was like, you're taking that much ibuprofen? Yes, that's an issue. You shouldn't be taking that much. So their perspective was, well, I'll just turn the volume down on it. No, you shouldn't. Why are you taking it? Why don't we address that?
Right.
You know?
Right, because the effects of the side effects of those drugs can be quite severe.
Yeah, the side effect of any drug can be severe, which is why they got to list some of the major side effects on TV commercials, because you have to be an informed adult before you do anything. But the difficulty is they make it so insidious in our television commercials that we don't even consider side effects as being severe anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, there are a wide variety of ways of treating pain, depending on the situation. And those different ways of treating pain, most of them involve some kind of prescription, but there are other things like acupuncture that's used for pain management. There are the things that you're doing that also affect pain management.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to have that conversation, because I think for people out there that are listening to the show, giving them another solution is a really important thing that we need to be able to provide people with.
Right. And in a perfect world, this is what I would want the listener to understand. When you first start to have pain that doesn't go away on its own, and you don't want to continually take the aspirin or the stronger pain-relieving medication,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's ideally the best time to call me, because you're not that far in the weeds, so to speak, and it would be easier for me to get you out of the weeds. For those who are listening that have chronic pain, that have been on the pain meds for years, and they're tired of taking the pain meds, okay, that's definitely somebody that I want to help save. I would like to help them no longer have those issues. So I would definitely want you to call me. And at the end of the day, pain is personal. Pain is interpreted by the individual that has pain in a personal way. And so I can't tell somebody whether they have chronic pain or not. They'll come in and they'll tell me. But if you're out there and you're listening and you have chronic pain and you have pain that you're tired of dealing with, and you don't want to get addicted to the medications, and you don't even want to start them as medications, whatever your scenario is, I want to have a conversation with you. In fact, I want to do a free test on you, a free test, meaning it doesn't cost you anything. And part of what we do with the NRCT or the NRC technique or Neurologic Relief Centers technique, part of what we do as providers of that is we do research by evaluating people for free. And if you don't get a result of what I do on that first visit, okay, then I've collected some data. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to help you. It doesn't cost you anything. Okay. And that's getting back to the woman that we spoke to in the first part, the woman who lost 160 pounds and stopped all of her meds all overnight. Mm-hmm. The reason why she stopped her meds was because we used this technique on her, and she had a condition called reflex sympathetic dystrophy from a car accident that basically caused her not to be able to use her right arm because of the severe pain that she was dealing with. And when she came to my office, when God led her to my office by she listened to the radio show just like we're doing today about chronic pain, she was basically in a blackout area because of a snowstorm, and the only thing she had was a transistor radio that actually had a 9-volt battery in it that made it work, but the only station she could listen to was my radio show. And so she listened to the show just like I was talking directly to her, and I personally feel that that was God's way of getting her attention through me. And so she came up, and we did the technique on her, and literally, less than 30 seconds, she no longer had pain in her arm.
And she had had that pain for...
She'd had that pain for 8 years. And was on 14 different medications. And literally within 30 seconds, she no longer had pain. And that's why she chose to jump into the deep end of the pool and quit all of her medications.
Because not recommended.
She didn't have pain anymore.
Right.
Why am I taking all of these chemicals if I no longer have pain? Well, there's a thing called a half-life, and you need to gradually withdraw from your meds. Don't just jump off the building there.
Well, apparently she's survived that
fall.
She
did survive that, and I give her all the credit in the world, and she's one of the strongest people that I know and had the pleasure of helping, and I'm glad that she's out there being a nutritional advocate for her church group.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Well, we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, there's a few more questions I'd like to ask you about pain and pain management.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Doc Rick from When Your Health Matters radio show. We want pain sufferers. If you suffer with chronic pain, there is a new groundbreaking technique that can end your pain. Call 845-561-2225 and sign up for your free test. The test may change your life and end your chronic pain. Please call 845-561-2225 and schedule your free test to end your pain. That's 845-561-2225 and reclaim your joy of life. Sponsored in part by the Foundation for Wellness Professionals, a nonprofit organization.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. We're at Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do that is to call my cell phone at 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. Now, today, Mark and I have been talking about pain and pain management and the various ways that we manage pain and how some of those pain management techniques are life-ruining and addictive and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there was a big breakthrough in medicine when they discovered that chloroform could knock people out during surgery, and that was a big game changer, but it had its share of problems too, didn't it?
Yes, as all drugs have problems, Mark, and why they need to be regulated and dispensed without the thought of profit, but in an effort to help the person who requires them on their road back to health, not on their road to keeping them sick or keeping them addicted or keeping them on the medication for the rest of their life kind of thing. We need to address problems, and you know, when you're taking drugs regularly, those are going to lead to problems.
Well, I mean, you know, there are all different kinds of anesthetics that they're using, and each one has its own problems. So is it possible that being under anesthesia it can be more dangerous than the procedure you're actually having done?
Well, anytime you block the normal functions of the nervous system, danger is close at hand. And so when you're knocking somebody out or when you're, you know, doing an injection that blocks pain locally, like when you go to your dentist and you have a root canal, mm-hmm. and they give you the Novocaine or what have you, or you do, you know, a woman who's giving birth, and they give her a shot in an effort to stop the pain that's going on with the birthing process and all of those things. There's a fine line between benefit versus detriment. And, I had a patient who got a flu vaccine in their arm, and the vaccine itself had an adverse event. I don't know whether it hit a nerve or whatever, but their hand now is all tingly as a result. And it happened immediately after they got the flu vaccine. And it's like, okay, well, I don't know. Did they jab the needle into a nerve, and now you got a little bit of nerve damage that's affecting how their hand works? But they're just like, there's nothing I can do to shut the nerve off that's going on in my hand since I had that shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are potentially dramatic effects that can happen.
Yeah. Now, I mean, doing something for like a surgical intervention or something like that, just so that you can proceed with dental work or something of that nature is can be important, because being able to keep a patient calm and not, you know, writhing around and things like that in pain during something like that would be extremely important.
Yes, it would. But also at the end of the day, there's also some risk that is inherently that goes along with it. I mean, if you talk to an anesthesiologist and what they have to do to become licensed, and then the malpractice costs that they must carry, I think we understand the consequences of and the regulations and the financial commitment that goes into it in order to become an anesthesiologist that's allowed to be licensed and practice, et cetera. And anybody that's gone into the hospital for a surgical procedure, every one of them knows they get a separate bill, not from the hospital, but from the anesthesiologist,
sure,
which is completely separate from the hospital. So, you know, there's a lot to be considered with regard to that, and that's why being an anesthesiologist is such a high-risk field.
So what are some of the problems that one would have by self-medicating?
Not knowing if you're doing yourself more harm than good. I mean, self-medicate with what? Are you talking street drugs? Are you talking, over-the-counter prescription drugs? Are you talking alcohol? Are you talking, depends upon what it is that you're doing to self-medicate.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about that now. You mentioned cannabis being legalized through much of the country, and many people seem to be getting helped from it. It's a plant-based substance. Would you consider that a medicine or an herbal supplement or treatment?
Well, it depends on what it is that you do with it. If you concentrate it and you medicinize it, then it's going to be a medical treatment. Okay,
uh-huh.
And that's what's going on in the state of New York. You know, I went to the New York State Education Department as a licensed chiropractor who deals with people with chronic pain, and I know the benefits of CBD oil and THC, and I called the state and I asked them, what would it take in order for me to become somebody that could send them to a dispensary in order to get legalized marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you're not a medical doctor, you're not a nurse practitioner, you're not a physician's assistant, and you're not a nursing assistant. Therefore, we can't give you that ability. And I'm like, I'm a licensed practitioner in the state of New York. I sat for a 3-day exam in order to get licensed. Okay. I don't know what's required of a physician's assistant or a nursing assistant, but if they have the ability in New York State to be able to write a prescription for a patient to go get that, and I'm not allowed to, well, that's just the way that the law is right now. And that helped me to appreciate the fact that they're trying to replace the financial income from pharmaceuticals by pharmaceuticalizing cannabis. But at the end of the day, I'm sure there's people throughout the country that grow marijuana in their backyard and make their own medicine from it and develop the benefits of it. And the challenge that we have is that we don't have enough research to know what is the proper ratio for the individual based upon their condition of THC and CBD. And then not in every state is it legal. Like, you can get CBD from hemp, okay, but nobody's talking about the THC component. And what I know to be true and what I've seen as far as the research is you need to vary the ratio of the CBD to the THC. And sometimes it's important to have higher THC, and sometimes it's important to have higher CBD, and sometimes it's important to have a 1-to-1 ratio of the two, depending upon what type of condition that you're treating, whether it's cancer, whether it's epilepsy, whether it's chronic pain, whatever the case happens to be.
Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things that are being helped by that. But it's, again, another one of those complex issues that needs considerable research.
Needs more elucidation, yes, Mark.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that people can do to get out of pain without using drugs?
Ice is always good. If you numb the area, you need to go through four stages of using ice as far as you want it to. First, you put it on, it's going to be cold. Then it's going to burn. Then it's going to ache. And then you're going to get the numbness. And you have to go through the cold, burning, achiness before you get to the numbness.
Huh.
And that could take as long as 15 minutes.
Wow.
Okay, 15 minutes of being uncomfortable before you see the desired effect. But at the end of the day, you also don't want to use ice for longer than 20 to 25 minutes because you don't want to super cool the area and create freezer burn on your skin, because then now you're going to have the pain of that versus the pain of why you were using the ice to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes using heat can be beneficial. The challenge is if it's pro-inflammatory and you put heat on it, that's going to create more inflammation, which is going to cause you to have more pain after you've removed the heat
mm-hmm.
supply.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to use ice for acute situations. You want to use heat for chronic tight situations, not necessarily for chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly the over-the-counter medications that are pain relieving. You can use different herbs. You can use different homeopaths. Arnica is very, very good. You can use Asper creams and those sorts of things. You know, and then there's the technique that I use in the office, which is the Neurologic Relief Centers technique, or the NRC.MD website that a listener can go to. And you can see all the different testimonials from people who have walked in with pain and have walked out without pain. And when you understand that you can create that effect naturally through a physical application to specific points on the body, then you should say that, you know what, I'm going to try that before I try the harsher drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more medical doctors to be aware of it and either get certified in that technique or refer them to somebody who's certified in that technique. Because at the end of the day, we're in business for our patient and we're there to serve the patient. And you need to serve the patient with the long-term and the short-term best interests of that patient in mind, not just what your bottom line is and what you can do in order to create more business for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I presume that things like massage therapy, other kinds of things that people are doing to get their bodies aligned, maybe it's one of the techniques like Feldenkrais or something like that, could also maybe be
absolutely part of that. Whether it's acupuncture, whether it's chiropractic, whether it's massage, whether it's the different types of massage out there. I had the pleasure of working with a gentleman who created his own massage technique called Ohashiatsu, and I got to get a massage from Ohashi and spend time with him and talk with him. And so there's lots of different healing methods out there. Sometimes exercise will help you to stop your pain. Sometimes doing martial arts, you do Tai Chi,
sure.
You know how that has the benefit on pain and getting the body back into balance. Whatever you are doing out there, if you start naturally and go from there, as opposed to bringing out the big guns and starting there and then trying to step away from that, it's harder to step away from something that your body has developed a dependence on than creating balance to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I would suggest starting minimally invasive before you go to the big guns and start with somebody. You know, I've offered the listener out there a free test. If you have chronic pain, call me and we'll set up an appointment and we'll do a half hour consultation and application of this specific technique. And if it gives you benefit, great. If it doesn't give you benefit, then we'll go in a different direction. But, that's available to the listener if they're interested.
So if somebody is interested in doing that, what would the best way to contact you and go down that road with you?
Pick up the phone and call my cell phone. The cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. You can come to one of my free classes, which are given every Tuesday evening at the office and beginning at 6:30. Whatever it takes to help you, that's what my job is, that's what my passion is, and that's what my mission is. So please consider getting a hold of me if there's any health issue that you have that you're not currently happy with.
Well, that's a really great offer. It's always an important conversation. Pain management is one of the topics that is so relevant to so many people today. And just knowing that there are other ways of being able to deal with your pain rather than going down the avenue that can lead you to problems. And, of course, we're hearing so many deaths associated with opioid abuse and the fact that that has come out of the pharmaceutical industry and has led to so many people having these just terrible outcomes in their lives, this is a much preferable way to begin your journey towards health.
Yeah, I hope so. So I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill.